Welcome to the U.S. Hong Kong Business Insight Podcast, produced by the American Chamber of Commerce in Hong Kong. I'm your host, Margaret Liu. In this episode, we sat down with Patrick Wu, Vice Chairman and Head of Valuations Advisory, Greater China of Duff & Phelps, a crow business on doing business in Hong Kong and the Greater Bay Area region, and the recent rebranding of Crow and Duff & Phelps. Patrick advises companies to formulate a sustainable business strategy to deal with both short and long-term issues. Hi, Patrick. Thank you for joining the AmCham podcast.
My pleasure.
We are living through a very interesting time. COVID certainly changed the way business operate and how people communicate. What are the biggest challenges that your clients face in the last 2 years?
Well, now, firstly, COVID hasn't gone away yet, as you know. So the interesting question from the COVID point of view is whether asset prices can remain so high despite continuing slower than expected economic returns due to COVID. And then I think for our clients, we mainly serve corporate clients. So for them, I see the most difficult challenges are regulatory changes, particularly changes derived from geopolitics.
Yes.
For instance, I can think of sanction laws. I mean, you know, for a multinational operating in two jurisdictions, they need contemporary to comply with their home jurisdiction as well as the foreign country jurisdiction. So that's quite a dilemma. I can also think of recent changes like in the US, the SEC require additional disclosure of financial information of Chinese listed company in the US. That presents a bit of a problem.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, the Chinese government also making it more difficult and having a more stringent policy in allowing overseas listings of Chinese tech companies on the foreign capital market. So all these changes are regulatory, which is in addition to dealing with COVID. So that's, to me, what I see from our clients, being corporate clients, when they deal with business transactions, decision-making, these are the difficulties they're facing.
In the face of uncertainty, how do businesses navigate to ensure business continuity? Do they need like one company, two systems kind of strategy to deal with those regulatory environments?
That is a very broad question. I think quite different tactics in different industries. But I think the first thing is that you need to navigate through the geopolitical environment. I think US and China, as you know, is having quite a confrontational relationship.
Yes.
So how to navigate that. At the same time, the company needs to formulate a sustainable growth strategy that will deal with the short term as the long term. So a sustainable growth strategy that will lead the company that in the long term come up stronger. You probably need a short term thinking as well as the long term thinking team together, the same team. So it's a question of living through this dynamic environment and then be very reactive to changes in the industry world.
Yeah, certainly. We have covered the risks. And so let's talk about the potential opportunities, if you will. What are the new market trends that businesses need to grapple with?
Well, I think we're today focusing, let's say, the US and China relationship and investment. China, as you know, apart from the business having to deal with occasional black swan events like, you know, the debt crisis, the Huarong, the Evergrande company, these are things that suddenly happen. So you need to deal with, particularly if you're a foreign fund manager, whether you want to invest, continue to invest in China because of the ESG concept, whether you want to continue to buy a Chinese fund, those are sort of social issues as a corporate fund government issues. But in addition, China, as you know, recently has sort of clamped down on certain sectors.
Yes.
In particular, internet sector, private education, entertainment industry, real estate, who know what comes next. But these seems to be, I think the point is to realize these actions are targeting undesirable businesses having too much of monopolistic control, or it affects a social aspect of life, making, let's say, the tuition fees too high for families,
mm-hmm.
and people are speculating on properties. So what the Chinese government is trying to do is to shift the focus from, you know, physical desire to a sort of more mentally fulfilling kind of exercise. So all these causes temporary volatility in the market. So in fact, change could be opportunity. I think it's a question of dealing with what's happening in the market, reacting in the right way, but as well as realizing this could be only a temporary change to position yourself for a future turnaround, a future gain.
Against this backdrop, could you share with our audience the motivations behind the rebranding of Kroll and Duff & Phelps?
Yes, certainly. We are unifying the Duff & Phelps brand under the Kroll brand because that will help us to deliver a more integrated experience for our clients, as well as leveraging on our unified and aligned internal culture. That's externally.
Yes.
Internally, having one team and one Kroll means there's no silos. So the more connected between our different service lines will enable us to work closer together, develop a lot of synergies, and just the most important, cross-referral opportunities from different divisions. And that will help us to grow, I think. And then also, lastly, I think we are very well positioned to react in a down market. For instance, we expect to be very busy with our restructuring team, our regulated compliance team very busy, cyber risk team are extremely busy. So these are sort of services that our clients will need during a difficult time or down market. So we have both. I think we can serve as a bull market or as a down market. So we will we'll place it as a group.
Great. We're very excited about the new business transition and how Kroll and Duff & Phelps will work under the same umbrella. Very exciting. Let's take a deep dive into looking at the investment landscape. Global investors are closely monitoring the world's biggest emerging market, China, as you mentioned about the increasing regulatory environment, on education, on the real estate market, etc. In the beginning of the pandemic, China's economy quickly bounced back to pre-pandemic levels while other major economies were still locked down. However, this year, as more economies reopen their international borders, there are signs of economic slowdowns in China based on PMI and retail sales data. The international business community is still assessing the potential impact of a slew of regulatory campaign to achieve common prosperity. What are the implications for the investment landscape, and what advice would you give to investors on China?
I think the first thing is to understand what's common prosperity means. It is a policy program. Beijing's focused on the financial, security, and social objectives of China.
Yes.
So first of all, is to really understand what it means. So how does your business want to react to that from the understanding? Secondly, it is important to review your partnership in China because a lot of businesses are restricted. You need to have a Chinese partner. Mm-hmm. So in the change landscape, does that mean your original partner is still the best partner for you? So let's review that with your friends in China. And then thirdly, I think, particularly for multinationals, you probably need to refocus your traditional concerns. The traditional concerns for a lot of Western companies would be IPs, level playing field. So those concerns may have changed. It may be more useful to understand what the concept means, what China can become in the future, leverage on that, recognizing China could be a very innovative country, and then use that as a platform to innovate and become more competitive for yourself. That's in the broader sense that those are the kind of advice I would like to mention.
Yes, and certainly the China market is still the biggest one in terms of investment opportunities. So foreign businesses are still in China for the long haul?
Yes, I think it's too big opportunity to ignore because of basically just think of the growing middle class, the rising income.
Yes.
Lots of people think that's the biggest business opportunity in the world.
Yes.
So you can't make too big to ignore.
So
you just need to look what's changes presently as only a temporary scenario and look even longer term.
Yes.
With perhaps some change of tactics and strategies along the way.
Certainly. And looking ahead, what are your thoughts on the outlook of doing business in Hong Kong and the Greater China region in the medium to long term?
As you know, there's lots of talk about the Greater Bay Area.
Yes.
We have to mention that. But Hong Kong, fundamentally, the strength lies with two things. It's a one country, two system, meaning a separate legal system. It has an abundance of tremendous professional advisory firms, tremendous experience.
Yes.
So we need to leverage that. And I think the younger generation in Hong Kong need to understand that perhaps their future not only lies within Hong Kong, but could be next door. So they have to reposition their thinking. Also, the financial sector is the focus. I mean, as I've mentioned, the SEC is making it difficult for company lists overseas. China is also making it difficult, so Hong Kong could benefit by these companies delisting from the US or new company coming to list in Hong Kong because of the relaxation in the laws of the listing rules. Because of the consultation paper just came out recently for SPAC, Successful Purchase Acquisition Vehicle, that could be, again, it becomes a law and will attract new economy companies from China to come to Hong Kong. So Hong Kong itself has lots of prospect, I think. And then to look at itself as just being next door to China, to an even bigger landscape, because of the middle class income attraction. So making use of traditional strength. So it's still quite bright in the future.
Yes. And what about the rest of the Greater Bay Area, other mainland cities? Shenzhen?
Yes, yes. Beijing is sort of pushing us, meaning 9+2, to cooperate. The interesting thing is that traditionally these 9+2 are competing in the past. Now Beijing is asking us to cooperate. So that's a very interesting aspect. I think there's already a plan to decide who should do what. Yes. So you group together, A group do this, B group do that. It remains to be seen. I think yes and no. It's still very sensitive. I mean, we go up to Guangzhou. People in Guangzhou may think that, what was the pleasure about you Hong Kongese? Or why do I have to follow you as a lead in this field? I could do the same. There could be little jealousy nuance, or I don't know how to describe it, but it's very delicate. The potential is there, but how to actually work in practice, it still depends on the details.
Yes.
If you go to China, your personal income tax, like if you stay more than 80%, how is your personal income tax being treated? Information flow, data security aspect, it's to be thought out.
Yes. Those cities need to move beyond silos and work collaboratively as a regional economy like the EU. And business will have more opportunities in the years ahead. And we look forward to receiving more details about the plan. Thank you very much again for your time, Patrick.
My pleasure.